time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody. Insight, FR Radio with Jack Stogler. I welcome Mr. Chuck Rohr, Rockers in the house. And in studio, we have Superintendent, Mr. Larry Brown. Hello, Larry.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
And our new middle school principal, Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner.
Jack, how you doing?
Very good.
Good to hear.
First to start off, kudos to you and your group for the job that you guys did at the WOW a couple weeks ago.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jack. It was a lot of fun, and although we had to go virtual, we made the best of it, and I think it turned out pretty good. So
it was unbelievable. So, Larry, welcome. I think that you joined us, I think, maybe in June or so, or maybe it was in May even.
June would be safe to say. Yeah, I did some days where I was here with Chestnut at the same time in June.
Yeah, and
in 19, yeah.
You know, I think at that time we were talking about what to do with graduation and you know, what was the next school year going to look like? Well, we're now 2 weeks into the new school year, and by golly, we got kids in the school.
Yeah, and it's been surprisingly smooth. We've had some good response from our community, and our kids have done a really good job. I'm really impressed with how our students are just adding these new safety protocols. They're doing all the other things that they've had to do as far as what the demands are for school, but to add these safety protocols, they're doing a wonderful job with it, and so staff's doing a nice job of getting them outside when they can, and giving them mask breaks and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a considerable amount of learning going on. So I'm impressed with the work of the staff and the community, and especially the students.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know there's a lot of moms out there that probably lost some sleep, probably shed a few tears thinking about what to do with their little ones. And they, you know, I think a lot of them took a deep breath and thought, this is the best thing for my kids. And they entrusted, you know, you guys and the teachers to, you know, keep them safe and to do the right thing. And I think that was the right call for them. So,
yeah, they did have a tough decision. We deliberately waited until about mid-July before we, you know, said what the actual plan was going to be, because there was things changing medically and as far as education and what the governor was seeing all throughout the summer. So we're glad we waited until at least about a month prior to school to give them the best information we could at that time.
And it still changes.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
So. Yeah, you'll just need a Tuesday or Thursday governor's briefing, and it could change.
Yes. So, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the mandates and, you know, what are some of those safety things that kids have to go through in the schools and stuff, and you know, what we may expect as the year goes on. So we'll cover all kinds of things, school-related, kid-related, COVID-related. We may even touch on some things that have nothing to do with anything.
It'll be fine.
So we'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Stacy with Brick Street Tavern. We have added a couple new items to our menu. Spicy pickle fries, pizza bites, cauliflower pizza, and cheese curds. Stop up and try our new items, or give us a call to get them to go.
They're focused. They see the future as an opportunity. They're growing, and they're looking for someone like you who shares in the same vision for a better future. Cooper Farms has been raising turkeys since 1938, and today they're raising hogs and chicken egg layers and making a variety of delicious food products. What's in store next for Cooper Farms? Join them in their quest for innovation, opportunity, and growth. Apply online today at cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, it's more than just a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales, Fort Recovery, Ohio. Now you can mow like the pros with a Simplicity zero-turn mower. These mowers have all the features professionals demand. Durability, heavy-duty construction, and of course, a perfect cut. Simplicity zero-turn mowers with their exclusive suspension system let you mow more lawn in less time, and you'll have fun doing it, because these mowers are unlike any you've ever used. So stop by K&L Tractor and discover the secret to a professionally manicured lawn. Simplicity, the way to a beautiful lawn.
Be sure to tune in to Fort Recovery Radio every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for a new show, A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. He'll give us some expert advice and timely tips on what we need to do to keep our lawns and gardens healthy. You can email him questions for future shows at steve@naturesgreennursery.com. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning for A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, 8 a.m. on Fort Recovery Radio.
We're back. Insight, Jack Stogler with Mr. Larry Brown, Mr. Ryan Steinbrenner, talking about school and COVID and safety protocols. So, as a grandparent who hasn't been in schools yet this year, or I think for the last half of last year, so like for the average kid that goes into school, what do they go through before they get in the classroom?
Well, most of them are riding the bus, and so they're experiencing, wearing a mask on the bus and getting to school and kind of unloading certain ways and then getting into the school safely. But other than that, we're trying to do the best we can to make it as normal a process and as exciting for the kids as we can. So
do kids have assigned seats on the bus?
Most of them do, yeah. There's some situations where kids don't ride every day, so there's some challenges. But yeah, that's the goal, so that we can potentially trace if we need to. That's part of the protocol that we're trying to follow. But that's not a perfect solution.
Yeah.
Like in the classrooms, at the middle school, they do the best same thing to try to have some uniformity in where they're sitting, but there's group work and still goes on, and especially middle school and elementary are doing a good job of getting them outside too, so they don't sit in assigned seats outside for sure.
Yeah, for sure, and that's what we're encouraging them to do, is bring them outside. Ambassadors were nice enough to let us use all their picnic tables this fall, and so we went and picked up 32 picnic tables from Ambassador Park before school started, and they're spread around the high school and the middle school, so them teachers are getting them out there and spreading them out outside, and the weather's been perfect for that. So
the weather's been perfect.
Yeah, it's been beautiful out there, and they're eating lunch out there. 7th and 8th graders get to take turns eating lunch outside, so it's getting opportunities to get them out there is the big thing. So in the class, they have their assigned seats, but that's not stopping them from working with partners or working in groups or those types of things, just doing what we can to best have that tracing ability there if we need it.
Yep. Do kids get their temperatures taken when they come in the school?
No, we rely on the parents to ensure that they are checking them regularly, and they should keep them home if they're over 100. 100 is our level as far as keeping them home. Now we do we have about 15 thermometers, and we potentially going to do some spot checks in the afternoon and things like that. But we haven't really seen a lot of fevers, to be truthful with you, thus far. So, if a student would come to the office, that's the opportunity for them to be checked. And I know they get checked away when they come. That's one of the first things we do when they do come to the office for, some kind of ailment or not feeling well.
Yep. So, have you seen any negative response from the kids about wearing masks?
And I haven't seen it in the middle school. They're showing up, they're wearing the mask when they need to, and they're getting the mask breaks when the teachers allow them, and I haven't seen any kickback that at all. Now you got your kids are walking down the hallway, and most of the time they just don't even think about pulling it up, and they see me and they go, oh, and they pull it up, but I don't have to say anything. The teachers don't have to say anything. There's no kickback to that. So I couldn't be more proud of the way the middle school kids are handling it. And that's who I can speak to.
And being with Tony in the high school, there's very similar things goes on. They're more likely to take breaks on their own. They're not told to take a mask break, but they see them pop it back up. And I think as they're on the move, Mr. Stahl's trying to make sure that they're covering up while they're in the hallways, because the hallway situation is pretty, a lot of people in the hallway at the same time, where the middle school is a little more controlled, and obviously the elementary is not really shifting classes anyway.
So, So what is the guideline for elementary? So do all kids have to wear masks?
Not preschool.
Okay.
Yeah, kindergarten and up. Yep.
Okay.
Unless they have an authorized. We've got about two or three in the district that have some kind of written permission from a physician. So.
Okay. So we have how many kids in our school system?
Well, we're about 881 as of this year with some of the students that have gone to homeschool environments. Yep. And that does include the 35 that did sign up for our Fort Recovery Virtual Academy, which Ryan is also kind of the administrator of that program, too.
Okay, so let's talk. Okay, so there's a number of kids that are being homeschooled, and that's
in the 30 range. We've still got one confirmation that we haven't gotten back from
okay.
parents, so it's in the 30 range. It was about 15 last year, so it's up about 16 or 17 when you got a kindergarten coming in and a senior leaving.
Yeah,
it's about in the 30 some range.
Okay, and then there's another 35 or so. Yeah. That's in this virtual.
Yep. That number we
virtual
know.
Virtual Academy.
We know that. They're
okay.
Signed up and enrolled. And
so tell me about the Virtual Academy.
Yeah, so it's a program run through the Northwest Ohio Virtual Academy, but it uses a program called Lincoln Learning. So these students, these 35 kids, are students of Fort Recovery local schools, but they follow these classes online. They get a Chromebook from school or a laptop, and they have a teacher at school assigned to them. So we have Miss Barhorst, who's the elementary teacher, Mr. Reichert, who's the middle school teacher, and Mrs. Horseman, who's the high school teacher for these Virtual Academy kids. That's kind of their connection back to school if they have questions or concerns or that type of thing. But they're working on these online classes at home, and they follow the same Ohio curriculum and standards that they would be getting if they were here in school. And so the plan is for it to be a one-year program, and when these kids are done after this year, they will have all the standards and knowledge they need so that they can be promoted to the next grade next year.
Okay, so it'll be just like, to a certain extent, they were in the classroom and achieved what they needed to at the Fort Recovery School to get promoted to the next level.
Right, and that's what those three teachers, they're monitoring their progress, and they can see how much they've completed, and they have milestones that the software will track to make sure that they're keeping up with their lessons. And with the assistance of their parents, I mean, some, especially at the elementary level, there's definitely some assistance that's needed to keep the first graders and kindergartners,
sure,
motivated and moving on to the right assignments at the same time.
And like, this is something that like the parents committed to for the full school year, right? I mean, this isn't a it seems like the bug has calmed down, I'll start sending Johnny to school next week.
Correct. And that was many of the questions that we had, because some of the people thought that initially they heard, that we were offering either a 9-week or a semester program, but the way the program is designed, it's not something, they're not following the same scope and sequence that our teachers in the classroom are doing. They're meeting the same skill levels, but we don't want them going half a year and then repeating the same things because the teacher's teaching certain lessons that they've already had. So
that'd be a hell of a chore for the classroom teacher to keep track of.
Well, they wouldn't be able to. They'd have to move forward with the other kids, because the majority of the kids are going to school, in class model.
So. Yeah. So from your vantage point, when you administered that program, what does that take?
Well, my work for the most part was before the school year, just getting the kids signed up for the classes. We had to check, this Lincoln Learning has just, hundreds of classes you can choose from. In the elementary kids, it was pretty straightforward. Lincoln Learning's made by Ohio. It follows Ohio standards, I should say. It's an Ohio program. So, K through 5, it's all right. Okay, second grade math, it follows second grade math standards. But when we got to middle school, it was a little bit more challenging to find which classes were rigorous enough and the right standards to match what we're teaching here at Fort Recovery. Especially for the high school kids. So that was a lot of prep work, especially for those high school kids, look and say, what classes do you want to take? If you were here at the high school, can we match up as close as we can to that Lincoln Learning? So that was some time-consuming work there. Once we got the kids into classes, we had to distribute their Chromebooks and their schedules and that. And so now that that's done and they've started the classes, you know, I'm there as the liaison if there's technology issues or something like that. But now it's those three teachers at the school each have a period or two during the day where they get to, Google Meet with those students or email back and forth and check their progress and help them with the work and that type of stuff. So for me, I think the hardest part for me is now in the past, I get to sit there and answer the questions, monitor, overall the students, but those teachers are really taking the, step now to help those kids.
Good. When you talk about, monitoring the kids and the standards and stuff. So has there been anything done from a Fort Recovery standpoint, to kind of assess what the last 3 months of last year and how we had to teach kids last year, how effective that was compared to where we would normally expect our kids to be?
Well, we're in the process of doing that. To the first 2 weeks, really, we can't gather that information that quickly. But yeah, our teachers, they're starting to get a sense of how much regression. We call that regression.
Yeah.
And, you're going to get some regression every summer.
Sure.
It's expected, but you want to recover that regression really quickly, and so we're seeing some challenges, and it just the students did the best they could with the RL, but it wasn't ideal, and we all know that, and that's sure. why we're glad that we're back in class.
Yeah.
A lot of districts are not taking that opportunity, and they have different situations health-wise in their community, but we feel that we're taking it's kind of what I call a calculated risk.
Yeah.
It's not an experiment like some people think. It's more a calculated risk.
Sure. Well, let's talk about that. So when, we were making that decision, and, really up until a week before school started, I think that the local superintendents were having conference calls with the governor, or at least representatives of the governor's office.
Yeah, we had one with the governor on a Saturday, yeah.
Okay.
But that was more of a progress check we were.
Yeah, so was there any pressure on his part because of where Mercer County was and presently is from a COVID activity state, for us to say we're going to delay putting kids in school?
Yeah, I wouldn't say pressure. I would say he had concern for the whole welfare of the state. But no, our communities decided this for us. It wasn't a superintendent or even an admin team decision. We heard, through ERL that our parents and our students wanted the kids back in the classroom, and so that's what we drove for. And barring a denial of not allowing us to do that, we were going to move in that direction. And so that's what we plan with. And I've shared this several times, but the DLT, our district leadership team, which is made up of some classified teachers and admin team members, we met throughout the summer to kind of fine tune some of the things that we were going to decide to do in, provide breaks and how we separate the kids in the lunchroom and all those kind of details. So a lot of things happened over the summer, but we didn't come out with them until we were closer to the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
But we were planning all summer long. And then I was meeting pretty much weekly with our local superintendents to make sure Fort Recovery was kind of in line with Marion Local and St. Henry and the Coldwaters and all those districts.
So is there any of the local schools that chose to do things much differently?
No, not around us, not directly around us. I don't know the closest one would be. Do you know?
I mean, outside of Jay County going, delaying the start of their school year what was supposed to be today until they closed. I mean, as far as Mercer County schools, they were all
definitely all Mercer
in line
County
with us.
Yeah. And Shelby, I would say, and Auglaize are pretty much all in the same boat.
Yep.
You get into some of the bigger school districts there. Some of them are either did a hybrid or did start online.
Yeah. So, one of the things that I know has to be effective. Well, I'll tell you what. before we get into that, you'd mentioned about you talking about the cafeteria flow and stuff. So, how is lunch and recess different for kids today than a normal day a year ago?
I would say recess is not much different at all, except there may be, you know, there we don't encourage them to get close to each other, you know, play games that are, you know, grabbing on each other and hugging and you know, all that stuff. But we want them to have fun. So that recess is pretty very similar to what it's always been. I think there's just more separation. We're serving in the cafeteria. Ryan mentioned that we're serving outside. So we're just spreading those kids out a little farther. But we didn't opt to send them all the way down to the classroom and then have a cleanup exercise to get them back. And so plus it's a social time. And they do not, as they're heading to the cafeteria, most of them are wearing masks to the cafeteria. But then when they're eating, they're not. You know, that's a time, obviously, you're not going to slide your mask up and down every bite you eat.
Each time you take a bite.
That's why they're separated some more.
Yeah. So, you know, from a standpoint of personal contact, of the importance of that human interaction, you feel pretty darn good about what the kids are getting versus, you know, versus what they got 5 or 6 months ago.
Definitely, yeah, and that's a credit to the teachers. I mean, that's what teachers are about. They're so good at making sure the needs of the students are met, and that's what they're striving to do, and they're doing a great job with it. We'll have some challenges. There'll be some mass fatigue. We're going to have to come up with some other motivators to keep things moving. But we're heading a good direction, and some of us were hoping to make sure we got past Labor Day. We're there, and so now we're moving to the next milestone. Yep. So.
Fantastic. So, is there a protocol in place? And we'll knock wood that you never have to use it. If a student tests positive, on what the process is?
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of steps that we've got some mandatory reporting that we have to do as part of the governor's order most recently about a week ago. So we have a sequence of things. We notify the classrooms by a letter, and then the school by website notification for those parents in the school, and then obviously there's a letter that goes if they come to school and they find out that they are positive from a call in or something like that, then we send them home with the letter. Or if we suspect that they have symptoms, then they're given a specific letter that was kind of guided by the Mercer County Health Department, and that's common with all the Mercer County schools. So yeah, there's a whole set of protocols that we do.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be intense.
Yeah.
And I think one of the myths that, you know, we want to dispel, and I think it's been dispelled a lot, is just because a kid tests positive, if that were to happen, doesn't mean every kid that was in a classroom with them is going to be quarantined. It's not going to work that way. Now, we're not in charge of the contact tracing at school. We'll deliver the information to the health department, but really they're the ones that make those calls, and they have a lot of those protocols in place too. But, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but if a kid comes back and tests positive, then we're going to pass that information along to the health department. They're going to make them calls, but it's not going to be all Johnny tested positive. Every kid that sat in the classroom with him that day is quarantined now. It's not going to work that way.
Well, and I'm sure that each classroom has like a seating chart or whatever that would identify if there are any direct contacts, it's this child and this child, and you know, those would be the two that you'd have to identify.
Yeah, I mean there are students. There's no way for us to possibly have six feet away from every student in the classroom. So that's where those contacts, if it would be for a long period of time, would be. That's where we would have to identify those students.
Yeah, and I'm sure that it'll probably very much be like what most schools and teams and businesses have found is that kids and employees are probably much safer in those you know, structured environments than they are when they're out and about on, you know, weekends and you know, when they're you not in those environments, because they're
we've established some routines. I think, you know, Ryan would attest that there's a little bit of peer pressure, you know, versus washing their hands or using sanitizer. You know, the whole group does it. It's not like you choose to do it if in your home. You just either do it or you don't do it. So there's a lot of routine that we've got established, and doing the best to keep up with all those things we can do.
And it's amazing how adaptive kids are.
No, absolutely. You know, I'd look at my own daughters in kindergarten and first grade, and, you know, they're just, you know, they don't know any different. You know, and they tell me in the morning, they say, "Oh, Dad, I forgot my mask. I'm going to run back home and, you know, grab it," whatever. I'm not even in that routine yet. Yeah. It's hard for me to learn that, but for them, it's just pick it up and go. And when they're walking in the door with me in the morning, they have it on before they walk in the door. I'm still fumbling around trying to figure out where my coffee is, you know. So, they're really good about it.
Yeah, that's
cool. And there's no shortage of masks. We've got masks coming from everywhere.
Is that right? that's pretty cool.
Lots of donations.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you
what. I don't think we paid for a mask yet.
Really?
Yeah, well, maybe our initial Fort Recovery logo ones, I think, were the only ones we had some expenditure on. But, yeah, we've got masks coming from Bureau of Workman's Comp and Ohio Needs Jobs and you know, the governor just allocated $4 million for students in Ohio for a second round. So,
well, I tell you what, we're going to come back and talk more about preparation. We'll touch on how all of this free stuff that the state's given us might affect our budget here in the future and stuff. And we'll be back to talk about more right after this.
Klinkchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klinkchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klinkchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
With power and versatility, the Kubota M7 tractor is built for hay and forage work. Up to 168 horsepower, superior loader lift capacity, easy-to-use controls, all-day comfort, and your choice of a 30x15 semi-power shift or Kubota variable transmission. The M7 tractor, built right, built ready. Talk to your hometown Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
You say you're hungry? Call Miracle Lanes and avoid the work and hassle of fixing it yourself. 375-4274 is the number you want to call for subs, salads, great sandwiches and sides, and of course their awesome pizza. Do you have a birthday party or other get-together coming up? Give them a call and reserve your lanes now. Miracle Lanes, great food, lots of fun. 375-4274. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, our undefeated Lady Indians get back to MAC action with the Parkway Panthers coming to the Fort Site Fieldhouse. We'll be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of that match. On Friday, it'll be football at Coldwater. Jeff and Joe will bring you all the action live with the pregame show starting around 6:40, and it will be on the NFHS network, but it won't be paired with audio. On Saturday, the Lady Indians will be back in action, hosting the Liberty Benton Eagles with the JV match starting at 11 a.m. We'll be simulcasting WPGW's broadcast of that match. Lots of sports this week, and you can hear it all right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back inside. Wait, Chuck. I'm choking on my peanuts. Okay. We're back. Inside. Check. Okay, I think I'm okay now. Check, Larry and Ryan here talking about school stuff and COVID and it's very apparent that The schools have done a remarkable job. And you, hats off to you guys and the teachers and the parents and everybody for getting us off to such a good start. And Larry, you had talked about the number of masks that you were getting from different departments in the state, and you get them from Ohio Means Jobs and BWC, and there's no doubt
that volunteer and people making them and donating them to us, from churches and other places too.
So I don't think there's any doubt that the past 6 months has cost the state billions and billions of dollars. Okay. And education is a large part of the state budget. So from a local school standpoint, what have you seen from a state funding standpoint, and what do you expect to see in the future?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, our job, Ryan, our job is to try to maintain the educational process. So I have to be cognizant of the finances, but the focus is trying to put it on the students. But what we've seen, just some certain cutbacks. The budget at the end of the year was unannounced. They cut $180,000 from our fiscal 20 budget, and then the fiscal 21, which is what we're in now. They started the year with a cut throughout this whole year. That's another $180,000. So there's $360,000 just for Fort Recovery Schools in a reduction. So we didn't anticipate that. We're adjusting to do what we can possibly. We had some slight increases in some CARES funding and some other things, but there's limited things as you can spend that CARES dollars that was COVID based, and so that's not going to account for that $360,000. It'll help a little bit, but the thing that people forget about is kind of, as people weren't working, they weren't making income, and so there was an income tax reduction, and so we had our income taxes are kind of delayed here. We hope that we as Mercer County comes back to work, we hope to see those rebound. But we had a big hit in the summer as far as what our normal income tax revenue would be. So it just kind of stacks on top of each other.
Sure.
And we lost revenue from returning preschool because a lot of our preschool students prepaid for their preschool, so we had the staff on staff, and we had to send that money back to them. Rightfully so, they didn't get the service, and so things like that.
Sure. So from an expense standpoint, so the buses didn't run. You didn't have to fix as many meals. Okay. So what were the additional expenses that the school absorbed that some people may not have thought of?
Well, I mean, while you didn't run those buses, you didn't also gain some state funding for busing the special education students and busing other students. It's in another T report that they file and get some subsidies from that. So there's all kinds of challenges. I really couldn't go into a lot of the details. It's just amazing the number of things that are coming in full and not coming in full, both and actually going out too.
Yeah.
I can try to come up with some more details. There's so many things that are happening.
Imagine this.
Every time we look at the reports, we're seeing, we didn't get this money, or they cut us back here, or certain subsidies were cut.
Yep. So it is evident from a drive-by standpoint that you can see that the football team's practicing, you can see that the marching band is out there, what about some of the other programs and things like the choir programs? When I picture the choir, I picture 45 kids on four sets of risers in not a very socially distanced thing. How do they handle that?
Well, she spreads the kids out as best she can. She's actually using shields for them to sing. They'll actually hear themselves a little bit better in those, but not project necessarily as well. But we're doing, we'll have some concerts. We're planning on the band having some participation in a Versailles event once that gets all organized, and that be something where the band goes and plays and then they leave. They're not going to be hanging around. So all the things we'll modify them, do whatever we possibly can to make it enjoyable, and I'm sure choir will be doing some things like that, and our academic teams and Spanish clubs, and we do have things that are happening before school, after school, and during school that are outside of the core curriculum areas.
Sure. Are any of those clubs like meeting virtually yet, or is it a little bit too early in the school year to say, hey, the Spanish club's going to meet on Zoom?
Those things we're pretty much doing as if it's just like in the classroom. So, social distance, wear your mask, and we're not doing much with Zoom anymore. I mean, unless we have to, or get together to have discussions with other schools.
Okay. Good. So how do you, I'm sure parents have a lot of questions, or how do you recommend if parents have questions, issues, what's the best way for them to kind of handle that?
Well, just like they should in a normal non-COVID environment talk to the teacher, talk to the staff member, the bus driver, whoever the situation involves, and try to work out, and have that discussion, work things out at that level. And then, if it doesn't get resolved, then move it up the chain. But I'm pleased to have a MN team that responds to parent concerns when they reach them, and then if they usually let me know, and then if it's still not resolved, then it comes to me. But really, truthfully, rarely here in Fort Recovery does it, in comparison to some of the other districts I've been a superintendent in. But that's a sign of the community, their willingness to work together in groups and work together as parents to try to provide a good, good environment for their children.
Yeah.
You can, Ryan, if you want to add to that.
Catch me right when I'm coughing. No, I mean, it's exactly what he said. Our teachers do a great job of communicating with the students and the parents already. So, that relationship is already built, even this early in the school year. They've made those connections already back at home. If there's those concerns, if there's those issues, I know the parents are following that right chain of command. They're talking with their child, they're talking with a teacher, and that's usually where the buck stops right there, because it's just such a great community that we have here that, it's little things that may come up and they're fixed that quickly.
Is another reason why we're back, because, some of those districts that are teaching virtually, those teachers never had any interaction with them outside of a virtual environment. They don't even really know them. They don't even, haven't interact with them directly at all.
Yeah. So, as a new middle school principal, is it what you thought it was going to be?
It's kind of a tricky question in 2020, isn't it?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's, I'm getting settled into it. In that first few weeks, I started August 2nd or 3rd, whatever that Monday was, and it's, COVID meeting, OTEZ training, virtual academy training. It was meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting. I'm thinking, it was a lot. But now the school year started, the kids are there. I'm getting into, interact with the kids, interact with the teachers, walk through the classrooms, and sit down and do some of those things I expect to do as a principal in a normal school year, and I enjoy that. Now, I found myself just this week, I think it was yesterday morning, I just walked into a classroom and I was walking around, and it's the first time that I had this feeling of, I miss this teaching. I hadn't felt that yet, and I got that feel. And I'm going to get that, you know, itch a lot, I think. I also think this year that since we're so short on subs, that I'm going to get that opportunity to teach some. I think this Friday I'm going to be doing some math classes for Mr. Ugenbiller. So, it is what I thought it was going to be, honestly, and I'm enjoying it so far.
Good deal.
So I'll confer that he's doing a good job. At least,
is that right?
Yeah, at least being in the right place at the right time right now reassuring staff members and things throughout the process.
Well, and, you know, I'm sure as a new administrator, as a new boss, as a new peer, you can never make a bad first impression if you go in with the idea that you're going to learn and make relationships, you know. And if, like, that's your focus at the beginning, that's a couple of really key steps. And it, you know, sounds like that's exactly what you're doing too. So
yeah, it's nice working in a community that I've lived my entire life. So I've had a lot of prior connections already. You know, I know most of the teachers that are on my staff. I knew them before this, and one of them was one of my teachers in middle school. Okay. So I had some rapport built already, but that was goal number one coming in, is build a rapport with the teachers and build a rapport, you know, with the students. And I'm finding out now, as I'm starting to learn these students' names, a lot of them have parents about my age. I don't know how that happened. I'm thinking, man, they graduated with me or just a couple years ahead of me. It's good to get to know those, get to know the kids and get to know the families and get to be working with them.
It happens quickly, doesn't it?
It does happen quickly.
It really does. So we get 9 months from now, and it's the middle, and this is a question for you, both you guys. Come June 1st, how are you guys going to measure if it was a successful year?
I'll start, I guess.
Thanks.
That we reach, all the students, both the in-class students and the Virtual Academy students, and take them as far as we possibly can. I establish goals each year, and that's one of them that's always is success for all, both our academic, our co-curricular, and extracurricular activities, that they go as far as they possibly can, and one doesn't suffer because of the other one being successful. We all want to do have good programming and have that well-rounded child that we, typically we recognize is coming out of our recovery schools. So we continue that model. We keep everybody healthy as much as we possibly can. That's a really a tough one. There's risk there. There's no doubt about it. But there's risk every year. We've had SARS. Sure. We've had other serious illnesses that and pandemics that have gone through our schools before. So I've actually experienced three of them. He's not as a principal, but I've experienced three of them. The same types of panic, because it's an unknown thing. But I think next June, I think we're going to be a lot happier thinking about 2021 or 21-22 being a normal planning thing. And at that point, I'm going to be working with the board and trying to establish some just normal time goals and revisit the vision, mission, vision, and all that for the district.
Yeah, I would concur with that. I'm a math teacher. I'm a numbers guy by habit, and I love data. I love being able to look at data and dissect data and take it and be able to learn from it and teach others how to learn from it. And coming in a normal year, I'd be able to look at the data from past years and test scores and discipline numbers, whatever it might be, and see how can we set some goals that are measurable that we can really improve Fort Recovery Middle School. And I haven't had the time to do that yet. And honestly, if we get all the way through this school year with everyone healthy and we stay in school all year long in person, that's a success in my book, because we have great teachers and great teachers teach great. And so I trust that they're going to be doing the job they need to, so the students are getting an equitable education. And, that time will come when I can take that data and I can say, all right, here's how we can improve from it. But now, let's get these kids a good education, keep them healthy, keep them safe, and keep them in school.
Fantastic. Well, tell you what, we're going to take another break. I think Rucker's going to join us and kind of share his thoughts on I think his top 10 list has something to do with school. So we're going to be back with Rucker, and Ryan and Larry will be back right after this.
Hi, my name is Connor Rammel at Fort Recovery Insurance. Every year, you should review your insurance plans to make sure you have the right protection for your needs. At Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we'll take you inside our fort to make sure you're paying the right price for the right insurance to protect you. For years, we've been doing just that, and it's time for us to help you too. At Ohio Mutual and Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, we've got something for everyone, and we've got something for you too. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency, call us today at 1-888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Wayne Street Market has some great Labor Day prices on items throughout the store through Thursday, September 10th. Labor Day means grilling and campfires, and what's better than burgers and hot dogs? 73% lean hamburger is just $2.49 a pound, loose or patties. An 80% lean ground chuck is only $2.99 a pound, loose or patties. And Eckridge hot dogs are on sale, 2 for $3. And if you're looking for steaks, their big steak sale continues another week. Ribeyes just $6.99 a pound. New York strips, $6.49 a pound. T-bones only $5.99 a pound. And while you have the campfire going, don't forget to come in and get everything you need to make s'mores. If you're looking for a great meal in a hurry, their deli has delicious meal specials every day from open to close. Don't miss the week-long Labor Day sale going on now through Thursday, September 10th at Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around.
The 2021 Win on the Wabash Super Raffle will be held August 27th and 28th, 2021, and will feature $650,000 worth of cash and prizes, given away every 2 minutes from noon to 7 o'clock. Tickets for the 2021 Super Raffle will go for sale on October 3rd at 8 a.m. and can be purchased at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio, or through our website, wowraffle.com. Only 8,000 tickets will be sold and will sell for $100 each, and there is no limit on how many can be purchased per person. Check out all details for the sale of the Super Raffle tickets on our website or Facebook page, and mark your calendars for October 3rd to purchase your 2021 WOW tickets.
Wow. We're back inside. Jack Stogler, Ryan Steinbrenner, Larry Brown, and I welcome Mr. Rucker Bonneville. Hello, Rucker.
Pretty good. How you doing, Jack?
Very good. So, in honor of Larry and Ryan joining us,
oh, yeah.
I asked you to come up with a top 10 list. Here, you can have this one. There you go.
Yeah, I might need some help here.
Oh, that featured. I don't know if I'm going to hang myself on these headphones here. Okay, that featured. Let's see, what was your top 10 list feature?
Top 10 things I miss and don't miss about high school.
All right. So, and I'm going to look for Ryan and Larry to kind of share what they miss and don't miss about their high school days.
Rucker, what year did you graduate?
92. Now, mind you, two of these years I spent at St. Henry, so you know, that other place.
Okay. All right.
That'd be what you don't miss about high school.
Oh, actually, they trained me pretty good. It's the 4 years at the other place I didn't do too well at.
Well, how many years in high school did you have, for God's sake? Well, you're up to six now.
Four years at, you know, Marion Local, which,
oh,
we might mention that. Okay. I might get sued on that one.
All right.
Okay, let's get out of the fire.
Yeah.
Number 10, Mrs. McClurg. For all the gruff she took over the years, she was a pretty lenient person when it comes to the whole, like the hall monitoring or the study hall.
She tolerated a lot. Mrs. McClurg was a gem up there.
I mean, that one year she even let us watch the March Madness.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things that you miss.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I just do that one in just a thriller.
So we'll just focus on the things that you miss, since, like, we're running late. Okay?
We're out running a budget, apparently.
Yes.
Number 9. Art teacher, St. Henry. I do miss that one.
Why do you miss the art teacher?
She's a rather attractive lady.
Oh, I knew that was coming. Why did?
Well, you gotta take the good peak moments.
Oh yes,
because there's a lot of, you know, not so good.
So, what kind of an art student were you, Rob?
Not very good.
No. Now you know I picture you like from an artist standpoint, like. Your ability to like, you know, like mold clay, or to like,
I was literally thrown out of art class in Marion Local because my art skills, my clay skills were awful.
Is that right?
I'm picturing like the scene from Ghost, Rocker standing behind some girl trying to mold to clay. That's why he gets kicked out of class. That's what I'm.
No, that wasn't it.
That wasn't it. Okay. Number 3 or number 8, whichever way you're going.
Number 8, Mr. Parker. Speaking of getting thrown out of class, Mr. Parker thrown me out of class, and to my knowledge, that was the first time I'd ever gotten thrown out of high school.
So why'd you get thrown out of Mr. Parker's class?
I'm still not quite sure about that one. Not very sure.
Just
he probably threw me out. I'm about as floored as you was.
I'm not surprised. So was this in Latin class?
This would be English class or whatever he taught. What was it?
I had English? No trouble seeing you in Latin.
No, I've been number 7. I'm gonna bleep myself on this one. Lame blank field trips.
You didn't you didn't like?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll give you an example. I got on a bus. I went to St. Henry to get on a bus to come back to Fort Hickory to go to the museum. Of course, my dad called it the worst waste of school spending ever.
Why did you go from Fort Hickory to St. Henry back to, like, why?
Well, because I got on a bus to go to St. Henry. Oh. You can't walk that, as far as I know. I've been there sometime around Christmas.
I gotcha.
We wouldn't have done that every day, though, Rocker.
No.
No.
Next.
Number 6. Our senior prom.
Miss or don't miss?
Well, I'm hitting them all.
So, was that one that you...
That had been a miss. Not a miss, actually.
Really? Why?
Didn't have RJ the DJ playing.
Did you have a date?
Well, that too. Well, that's a guaranteed no date.
No.
No, we...
Should have asked that art teacher.
We had orchestra doing Sweet Child of Mine. I don't quite have the same feel. Because it had the same pop. Number 5.
What band did that Sweet Child of Mine?
I don't know. It was
originally.
Guns N' Roses.
Yes, I knew you knew that.
Number 5.
And your orchestra just didn't pull it off.
No, they not even close. Sound like a couple of seals having it going down. Number 5. Having Mrs. Monroe
number
saying...
Number 5. This,
this is your fourth number five.
Well, I've been paying attention.
Okay, go ahead.
Having Mrs. Monroe saying it's hump day. I'm sure RJ's had that a few times.
Had what, Roger?
Well, you had Mrs. Monroe at some point, didn't you?
I did have Mrs. Monroe. I did, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes. I had her. Oh, I had her.
That was her favorite saying every Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't even remember day. That.
Well, you know.
I don't remember a lot, yeah. She was my teacher during Channel 1. You ever have Channel 1 when you're in school? I had to sit there and watch that news program. We'd get yelled at every time. We'd sit there and just talk to Channel 1. She'd get yelled at. Yell at us every day.
Number four. Now, this is... it's more of a joke than it was anything. Me raising the flag at St. Henry. I didn't do a very good job of that.
What do you mean?
I apparently put it upside down. The World War II veteran up in the top row said he's under attack. I had no idea why it happened. I was never asked to do that again. They said, just hand out the attendance slips there, Skippy.
Just going through this list, other than your art teacher, you really didn't have a very good high school
experience. The 2 years I spent in Fort Recovery were awesome.
Okay. Good answer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I spent 12 years to get back here. I'm going to at least milk it for what it was worth. Number three. Well, I'm not sure if I really should do this one, but I'll do it anyways.
Oh, no.
It's always scary.
Cheerleaders, obviously.
It's self-explanatory.
Yeah,
it's
kind of we'll go to the next one.
Number two. Well, if I can read my own drawing.
Well, I wish you couldn't have read the last one.
We'll skip number two.
All right. Yeah. Time's a ticking.
Number one. This is kind of obvious. Fun. Friday pizza.
Friday pizza.
Yeah.
Like school pizza. With them.
School pizza.
Oh, I like the old school pizza.
Oh.
Those were good. The rectangle
pizza.
Yeah.
They're rectangle. Mom used to buy them by the case.
It's almost like a cracker crust, almost something.
Chili and grilled. I mean, the chili and the peanut butter.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they had molasses or honey on that peanut butter, but that was always good. Could dip it in your chili.
You dip pizza in your chili?
Peanut butter bread.
Peanut butter bread.
Chili dip.
Boo. You don't dip peanut butter bread in your chili?
Not particularly, no.
Ryan.
Un-American.
Butter bread, yes.
Oh, peanut butter bread, definitely.
Ryan, what do you miss most and don't miss most about high school?
Oh, boy. That put me on a spot there.
Yep.
I love playing golf in high school, so I'd say I miss the competition part of that. Right? Yeah. I go out and golf now, and I don't get the competition feel a lot other than when I play in leagues. I really miss that competition, but I just, you know, I look back at some of the best experiences I had, honestly, were just in class, just, you know, being with your friends and being with the teachers. I mean, you know, some of the teachers that are still there, like Mrs. Armstrong and Mr. Bruns. I mean, they were, you know, they're what who inspired me to be, you know, become a teacher and now an administrator. So you look back at those days, you thought he had it so tough in high school, right? And now, I mean, those were the days that flew by quick and you really miss now. Oh, what don't I miss? A tough one. I don't know that I can put something on that. I mean, I had a great schooling experience and really enjoyed my time going through.
Yep. Larry?
Oh, well, he mentioned orchestra, so that was kind of the highlight of my career in high school, and I ended up being the orchestra teacher as a teacher, so I might not have done that song he did. I was talking about with orchestra. We had to do some pop tunes, you know, to get some interest in the program.
Oh, yeah.
So. But I'll just, as far as maybe... Not something I didn't enjoy, but something maybe a mistake was not joining golf and playing. I played, you know, leisure golf in high school. I just probably should have gone out and joined the team and, you know, maybe I wouldn't have been one of the top five, but, you know, at least get out there and play. Kind of missed an opportunity there.
Well, Sandusky had golf. Yeah, and I tell you what, I think as anybody looks back to their, you know, high school days, you often regret things that you didn't do. You know, things that you wish you would have tried out for that class play, or you wish you would have kind of gotten outside of your box a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, to me, what like I miss most about those days was driving around town. You know, and if I think about it now, you know, it's nothing for me to say to my wife, "Hey, do you want to jump in the car and take a drive around town?" And there's something about taking a drive around town, talking about whatever you talk about, and seeing other people out in the yard, taking a walk, you know, whatever
sure,
it is,
man.
And I miss those type of days. So
no, I came up with one. I do recall. I think my golf coach in high school was Bubba. So if you're asking what I don't miss about high school, you know, he can't hear me right now.
That's it. So, well,
he just grabbed the bat.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're going to take one more really quick break. Come back, and we will let you guys close with any final thoughts.
Okay.
And Robert, thank you, bud.
Thank you.
You remember the name of that art teacher?
In St. Henry?
Yeah.
Mrs. Bay.
She's still with us?
As far as I know, she is.
Yeah.
She was a rather young lady, so yeah, she should be still with us.
Do you want to share your cell phone number with her?
You know, she might be listening.
She
might be our Florida listener. That might be who it is.
She probably is.
I doubt it.
No, you doubt it? Okay. So, well, we'll be back to wrap things up right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Cooper Farms, we're building a culture that makes us more than a workplace. We believe that producing quality products, giving back to our communities, and taking care of our team members are all part of our foundation as a company. We want to see our team members succeed, and that's why we pride ourselves on promoting from within the company. We believe giving our team members all the tools necessary to grow with us is what will keep our tradition moving forward. To join the Cooper Farms family and experience a culture like no other, visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern, and I want to invite you to stop in for our delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials for only $5.25. Starting at 11 Monday through Friday, Brick Street Tavern features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Tenderloin Basket on Thursdays, and on Friday you can choose from our Soup and Salad Bar or our famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger basket. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturday evening, including a New York strip steak and all-you-can-eat roasted chicken, both complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and a honey roll. Stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern and enjoy some great home cooking.
The Fort Recovery Music Boosters are having their annual breakfast fundraiser on Sunday, September 27th. The breakfast will be carry out only this year, and it'll be a drive-through pickup at the Fort Recovery American Legion from 8:30 a.m. to noon that day. Tickets are just $5 each and can be purchased from any band or choir member or by contacting Reed Knuth or Tracy Evers West Curtis at the high school office at 375-4111. Please continue to support the music programs at Fort Recovery by getting your tickets for the Fort Recovery Music Boosters annual breakfast fundraiser on Sunday, September 27th. Drive-through pickup will be from 8:30 to noon at the Legion.
We're back. Insight. Larry and Ryan, I'd really like to thank you guys for coming on tonight You know, I'm sure the past at least few weeks, probably few months, have been tremendously challenging. And what you guys and your group has done, and the teachers to get us back in the classroom, to get the kids feeling comfortable enough to learn, is absolutely fantastic, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you. Like, the whole community was behind it, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you, Jack. Appreciate you having us tonight. And I've said this before to Larry and to everyone, but I just appreciate the opportunity to be back home, you know, be an Indian, you know, working in the school system again. And it's a great administrative team to work with. Kelly's right next door to me down the hall as the elementary principal, and Tony's been awesome to work with, and Larry's been helping me a ton, and just the whole staff here at Fort Recovery is just amazing to work with. So I couldn't be happier to be back.
That's fantastic. Larry, any closing remarks?
Yeah, just encourage our community to continue to reach out to our teachers and staff members if they have any concerns coming up, because there'll be challenges. And I'll just chime in on what Ryan said. You know, it's a great admin team we've got together with Deanne and Kelly and Tony and Ryan working together. We do miss Bill, but we're doing fine. We're moving forward as a group, and so it's a good team to have together.
So as a grandparent, and I'm sure there are other people out there who would love the opportunity to get you back in the school on a, you know, voluntary basis or whatever, can like you guys see, you know, I know in the past there's been, you know, Veterans Day things that they've done, or you know, Grandparents Day.
Yeah, we're evaluating those case by case. It's we're not there yet.
Yeah,
same thing with the field trips and things like that. There are some restrictions, and we're just doing that to make sure we can stay in school.
Sure.
If we just go out and do everything, you know, the way it was, I'm confident that we wouldn't last as long in school, yeah, environment. So we try to. We do have some people helping out in the kitchen and where they can social distance.
Yeah.
But working directly with kids, we're trying to minimize the number of people in and out.
Well, I tell you what, I wish you guys a fantastic 2021 year, and we will probably see before the end of the school year.
That'd be
again.
Great.
Okay?
Awesome. Yep.
So for Jack Stogler and Larry and Ryan, Chuck and Neil and Rocker, that's it for Insight. Stay tuned for Bubba and Fee and Sports Talk. We'll see you next week. We're out.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you. We'll be right back.